If we live any length of time at all, we will be disappointed by people, even friends. At some time in our lives, someone will not live up to the expectations that we have for them. Our expectations may or may not be reasonable, but the fact remains that from time to time, someone will let you down, even those who we rely on and trust the very most. Today we have a situation that looks like that. Martha and Mary are friends of Jesus, and from all outward appearances, their friend has let them down. And not just in a small way, but in a very huge way. "If you had been here," Martha proclaims, "my brother would not have died." If you had been here, Jesus, where were you when we needed you? Why did you not come sooner? If you had been here, all of this would have gone differently. My brother would not have died. We know Martha's cry. We can relate to her exasperation. Her brother, Lazarus, close friend of Jesus, is now dead. Her world is shaken. Her support system is gone, and she knows in her heart that Jesus could have prevented this from happening. She must not be only angry. You know, she and her sister both had to be very hurt. They thought they were special, that if Jesus could go around healing lepers and restoring sight to the blind, he would surely do what they asked. They had faith. They believed. They were his friends, his close friends. And is this how he treats them? I'm a bit surprised that Martha went to the edge of town to meet Jesus. She could have rejected him, refused to see him, stayed home in her anger and grief, wallowing in her blame and resentment, but she didn't. She went out to meet him even before he made it to the house. Perhaps she wanted to hear his excuse. What could have been more important than preventing the death of his friend, her brother? How would he explain this? He couldn't possibly. "If you had been here," she says, "my brother would not have died. But you weren't. And now look, he's been dead 4 days. There is no hope. All is futile. Lazarus is dead. And so it's too late, Jesus. You dropped the ball big time." During Lent, part of my discipline has been to try and find Jesus in everything, to see where Jesus is in everyday life, my day-to-day interactions with folks, in all the conversations and plans that happen throughout the day. Sometimes that's hard to do. It's hard to find Jesus when people are hurting and angry, when children are abused and old folks neglected. Jesus seems totally absent in broken relationships and in hate-filled words hurled towards others with the intention of hurting. It's hard to find Jesus when there are winners and losers, and when encountering those who are absolute in their need to be right, no matter the cost. There are times that we too can cry out like Martha and Mary, "If you had been here, Jesus, this would not have happened. Where have you been while all this hurt and pain is going on? How can you let us suffer like this? If you were here, this would not have happened." But if we look closely, with gospel eyes, with good news eyes, looking for Jesus, hearts open for his movement and restoration, we will see that Jesus is here. And there, in the midst of the pain and suffering, the chaos and the destruction, the very one who brought life out of death in Bethany some 2,000 years ago still brings life out of death, even when we think that life is impossible, even in the darkest moments, the hardest, most painful moments, Jesus is there, wanting to give us hope, wanting to give us life. Have you ever found yourself right in the middle of living through one of your biggest fears. Some of us have probably been there, deep in pain and fear caused by loss, the loss of a loved one, or a job, or a marriage, or our health. When you are in that deep pit of fear and death, Jesus can seem distant at best. Everything seems black and all hope is gone. If you can even imagine a future, it offers little assurance that there will be another good time, another happy day. Life as you have known it is no longer that life. The one you had before this particular event, this loss, this death, is gone, and you're not sure how you'll go on. If you had been here, Jesus, this would not have happened. But that's just not the way, is it? Jesus is not our magic fairy godbrother. Jesus did not come into the world so that we could live happily ever after, no matter how much we want that to be the case. Jesus came to give us life, new life, resurrected life, restored life, abundant life, with all its bumps and bruises and pains and sorrow and joy and hope and love. Jesus came to show us the way to live, a way that requires trusting him that he will be with us even to the end of the ages, even to the depths of despair. Even in the darkest moments of our lives, he will be with us, not fixing the problems or making our lives easier, but making our lives different, fuller. I remember an experience I had 18 years ago, as if it were just last week. About 6 months prior to this particular day, we had left our home of 12 years and our friends of 12 years. Friends that had become closer than family to me. We had followed my husband's career to Northeast Tennessee, and by all worldly accounts, life was good. The kids loved their new school. I loved being back in the mountains. We were settling in, and all was well, until that one morning when the phone rang, and my best Louisiana friend, Christina, called me and said, "Leah's been found dead. She shot herself." Leah was the troubled daughter of my dear friends Paul and Judy Tunkel. He was the rector of St. James in Alexandria. I had been on the search committee that called him to St. James, and we had grown very close. I knew I had to go and be with my friends in their pain. The service would be 3 days later, and I was told that Paul would do the homily. I was stunned. I was awed. I couldn't imagine how a father could stand up at a funeral service for his child and speak at all, much less coherently. But he did. He gave a wonderful overview of her life, its joys and its sorrows. He talked about her mental illness that caused her to find no way forward in life. He talked about God and love and the fact that no matter what, God loved Leah, and that she was now out of pain, no longer suffering the effects of her disease. Even in the midst of grief and sorrow, there was life. Even in the midst of pain and sadness, Jesus was there transforming us all, showing us how to move forward, showing us through Paul that even in the midst of death, there is life and love and redemption. In order to see Jesus, to feel and know his presence, we must first be looking for him, expecting him to be present. We can choose to ignore Jesus or decide that he has deserted us or given us up for dead. We can believe that we are not worthy of the presence of Jesus, that whatever situation we're in, it's too messy for Jesus. Others might tell us we've gone too far this time, that even Jesus can't redeem us. That would be very wrong. There is no unforgivable sin. There is nothing that can permanently separate you or me from Jesus, except us, by our own choice. The story of Lazarus serves to show us that Jesus knows our pain. He feels our sorrow, our loss, our grief. He knows that we wonder where he is sometimes, and even our doubt doesn't push him away. Jesus will be with us in all things and at all times if we allow him in. He is constantly trying to bring us out of death into life, out of the old ways of living that lead to death, and into new ways of living that lead to life. When we allow him to be with us, we find our lives begin to be reformed and transformed. We begin to be living fully, not exempt from pain and hurt, but supported through the love of God, through Christ. Amen.